Cette annonce est traduite par un interprète certifié Nati.
This ad is interpreted by a Nati certified interpreter.
Avec un interprète certifié, vous pouvez exprimer exactement ce que vous voulez dire en français.
With a certified interpreter, you can express exactly what you want to say in French.
Et ce que vous dites reste confidentiel et inchangé.
And what you say stays private and unchanged.
Parce que nous avons tous le droit d'être compris.
Because we all deserve to be understood.
Demandez un interprète certifié Nati. Pour en savoir plus, rendez-vous sur nati.au/interpreter.
Vous êtes avec SBS French.
I'm joined by Auntie Manya Andrews and Carla Rogers of Evolves Communities, an organization that has advised more than 3,500 businesses and organizations on how to have a culturally safe workplace. They offer practical tips on how to tackle the friction around the family dinner table or with colleagues. Auntie Manya Andrews and Carla Rogers, first of all, thanks for joining us and welcome to SBS French.
Great to be here. Thanks, Bertram.
Great to be here, Bert. Yes, thank you, Bertram.
Now, before we dive deep into our conversation, I'd like to first ask you to tell us who your mob is.
This is Auntie Manya. My mob are the Bardi people of the Kimberley region in Western Australia. If any of your listeners have been to Broome, our communities lie to the north of Broome on the Dampier Peninsula.
And Carla?
I'm not Indigenous, and my ancestry actually dates back to the First Fleet, a mixture of from England, Ireland, Scotland, sort of a common mix at that time. And so at our approach at Evolve, everything we do is First Nations-led, supported by a non-Indigenous ally.
Now we're catching up on the sidelines of NAIDOC Week 2026. And we know that this is a period when people are encouraged to engage more deeply with the First Nations perspectives. What are some of the most common mistakes that individuals and organizations make when trying to have these conversations?
I think what we all make as humans is that we can respond, I guess, in a sense, believing in our beliefs. So, you know, we can approach a conversation going in with assumptions that we've made and without testing those assumptions. So often when you find in any disagreement, in any situation, you know, when people step away, they've gone in with thoughts that actually may not be true or reality, and then so that's probably one of the main things, and that's the first step. Reflect is to stop and pause and reflect on not only what the issue might be in a difficult conversation or conflict, but what assumptions are you taking into that conversation that you might not have tested.
And how can people approach these conversations more effectively?
We always say with an open mind and heart in the first instance, but also the R3 stands for reflect, relate and reconcile. Reflect is to think about the issue deeply and try to identify, you know, what points you need to make. And then relate is an important one because it's about putting yourself in the other person's shoes and seeing things from their perspective. And then reconciling is finding a way to move forward together. You can still disagree, but perhaps do so respectfully.
Yeah. Now, through your work, advising more than 3,500 organizations, from really very big multinational ones to smaller workplaces, what have you found that separates organizations that genuinely create culturally safe environment from those that are simply ticking a box?
So we've designed our programs, I guess, in a sense, so that they're not suitable for tick a box, because they're really practical and they're about providing people the skills. The organizations that really make an impact is that commitment to longer term, because ultimately what we're talking about is cultural change and behavioral change over time. our whole philosophy at Evolve and everything that we teach is all within a no shame, blame or guilt environment. Every conversation that we approach in these difficult conversations, it's with an open and curious mind, as Auntie said, and it's we approach things as a mutual learning opportunity. You know, we're equals with the other person. I never go into a conversation assuming I'm right, and that these kinds of values we find reflected in the organisations that do really well is always being open to learning. Not that no, we know it all. And then what makes a big difference is when you have that commitment and understanding of senior leaders, and then they provide the time and so forth for everyone in the organisation to, at some level, you know, develop these skills and opportunity to do this kind of training in a way that works for them, that's really practical. So you get some organisations like Woolworths, for example, we've modified the way we deliver our programs so it's possible for someone that works in a store to take the time and do the learning in mini pieces on their phones or whatever it takes. So it's sort of a longer term commitment, but it's a very genuine commitment to change. But also, if you're in a leadership position, us as leaders seeing that, you know, it starts with us and also changing our own behaviours.
Yeah, would you say that organisations that have a reconciliation action plan perform better in their engagement with the First Nations people than those that do not have a reconciliation action plan? And how do you approach organisations when they're so disparate?
We probably work more so with organisations that have reconciliation action plans. Having said that, we do work with some organisations that don't and that do really well because they've still got a commitment to reconciliation. The other thing we didn't mention about what makes an organisation really successful is when you have a shared language and understanding, and that's why do we need reconciliation? Why, you know, what do we gain from more understanding of First Nations peoples and perspectives? There is research done by Reconciliation Australia to show that organisations with reconciliation action plans do perform better in terms of workplace inclusion and First Nations people. And we always say everything we teach, although it's through a First Nations lens and understanding, the skills that we teach are applicable across all scenarios, isn't it, Auntie?
Yeah, and it applies to people from other cultures as well.
Newly arrived migrants now are being encouraged and they want to discuss issues affecting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but they worry about saying the wrong thing. How does your framework help them move past that fear and engage more meaningfully?
That's the origin or the genesis of all of Auntie Manya and my work. That's where it started, really, for me as a non-Indigenous person, you know, really wanting to connect, like you're saying, but being very frightened of saying or doing the wrong thing. And that's exactly why we are where we are today with all our programs. And so what Auntie and I worked out was, well, how do we address that? And it's, well, teaching people the skills and the confidence to be more effective allies. When we mentioned talk about the R3 approach, that's only one of our sort of three main frameworks. The other frameworks that we have, the main one is called the 7 Steps to Practical Reconciliation, and they are core competencies that Auntie Manya and I have worked out that really help people once they master these competencies to increase their confidence.
We've found that when we've run these courses, we start from the premise that we're all human beings and we all have cultures that have something valuable to offer humanity. And when we bring it down to that level, we often find that people from other ethnicities will pop up and say, oh yes, that's exactly what it's like in my culture too. We have that as well. And a wonderful, rich conversation ensues. And the other thing is, they then become really strong advocates for First Nations peoples by that, the fact that they can relate to our struggles. So that works very well.
And also, Bertrand, one thing we haven't mentioned is that we For National Reconciliation Week in May, our big focus was on why we need to have difficult conversations and how to have them well. Moving into NAIDOC, we're going much deeper into the First Nations wisdom that actually has informed all of our frameworks, including the R3s, but how much we can learn in workplaces and in individuals from First Nations wisdom. For example, in reflect, listening to yourself, listening to others. And an example is Dadidi. Auntie, do you want to talk more about that?
Yeah, so Dadidi is a spiritual sort of tradition that comes from the Northern Territory area. But most First Nations have a form of Dadiri. It's just called Dadidi. It's just called by a different name. It just asks you to go quiet and inwards to listen to the environment and what's happening in country, and what you can learn by going deeply and listening deeply to your environment, but also to other people as well, really sitting with that and reflecting.
When situations get tense or when people encounter resistance, misinformation, or strongly held views, what practical strategies can you offer to help people engage in meaningful conversation when this kind of friction arises?
Well, one of the first things we do is just remind people to only offer the R3 if the other person is open to things. So that if you feel safe, we say to people, proceed and try to have that conversation. But the minute it does begin to feel unsafe, it may be more important to remove yourself from the situation so that you're not impacted.
Mm. So to give, for an example, because we teach for all the different competencies we teach, we have examples of how to approach a conversation using the three R's. An example is, why can't First Nations people agree on something? You hear about the voice and, for example, referendum and different views, and why can't they just agree? And that, I've had people say that to me. And so first step is reflect is actually a lot simpler than what people might think. Reflect in this case is that this person has a different experience and view to me. It's not necessarily right or wrong. I'm not necessarily right or wrong. They've just got a different perspective. And if they're open to it, this is a possibility for a conversation. Then relate. In my instance, people know the sort of work I do. You know, they're expressing a view. They feel safe enough to express a view to me. I don't want to do anything now. This is a mutual learning opportunity. I don't want to shut it down, shame, blame or guilt, or say something that comes across as I know better. And then reconcile, I would say, and I have said in these sorts of instances, you sound a bit frustrated and try to understand their view a bit more. And I say, look, I can relate to that. When I discovered more about First Nations people diversity, it really changed my view. Would you be interested in hearing more? If they said yes, I'd go ahead. If they said no, I'd leave it there. But if they said yes, what I've done is had a look at the First Nations map of Australia and the hundreds of different countries and you know, looked at, with the other person, looked at that diversity. And then I said, when I understood that diversity, then I'm like, well, of course, First Nations people have so many different, so many different views. And, that's a practical example, Bertrand, of how you might approach a conversation like that.
Yeah. And what gives you hope about the direction Australia is heading on reconciliation, and what is one action every Australian could take this year to help build stronger relationships with First Nations communities?
Start small. It doesn't have to be huge. Start from where you're at. So a really practical example would be, if you don't know, find out where you're living or working, find out who the First Nations people are and learn to pronounce the name for that. So for where we are now, it's Wadi Wadi peoples of the Darawal Nation. You can start wherever you're at, or think a little bit more about First Nations people's connection to country, and maybe just go out and stand on the grass and have a think about that. So for me, and I'll go to Auntie next, but for me as a non-Indigenous person, I have so much hope from the amount of interest we hear from people, the incredible depth of First Nations wisdom that we have the opportunity to learn from, and always it's a very generous invitation from First Nations peoples. And I'll just go to Auntie now.
No, I just share with Carla that optimism for the future by the fact that there are people who are interested, there are people who want to know more, and we think that that's a good thing, and we want to build upon that natural curiosity and even build even greater curiosity about First Nations peoples and cultures. And that makes me hopeful for the future, because it's about learning from each other and creating an Australia that we all get to contribute to as we move toward the future. That's very exciting to me. That journalist Richard Flanagan talks about how much better Australian society would be if we accepted that there was a deep culture here beforehand. But he says something along the lines of, can you imagine what the possibilities are? And I find that very exciting.
Carla Rogers and Auntie Manya Andrews, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today on the sidelines of NIDO Quick 2026.
You're most welcome. When we say Inyidigal Gona,
go well. Thank you, Bertrand.
Thank you, Bertrand.
Aimez, partagez, commentez. Suivez-nous sur facebook.com/SBSFrench.
Cette annonce est traduite par un interprète certifié Nati.
This ad is interpreted by a Nati certified interpreter.
Avec un interprète certifié, vous pouvez exprimer exactement ce que vous voulez dire en français.
With a certified interpreter, you can express exactly what you want to say in French.
Et ce que vous dites reste confidentiel et inchangé.
And what you say stays private and unchanged.
Parce que nous avons tous le droit d'être compris.
Because we all deserve to be understood.
Demandez un interprète certifié Nati. Pour en savoir plus, rendez-vous sur nati.au/interpreter.